Russian residents of Ukraine's eastern city of Donetsk have proclaimed independence from Ukraine. Activists took control of several regional state buildings and appealed to Russia to send peacekeeping forces to the region. They called for a referendum to be held by the 11th of May. Similar protests turned violent in the nearby city of Kharkiv. Ukraine's interim authorities have accused Russia of playing out the second stage of a plan to break up the country. Will Ukraine lose more regions, and is Russia to blame? I'm Homa Lesgi, and you're watching The Debate. You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from Washington is former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst Mr. James Jatras, and with us live also from Washington, columnist with The Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Budovsky. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on The Debate. I'll put my first question to Mr. Budovsky. Now, it's not just, Mr. Budovsky, Donetsk now, Kharkiv, Odessa and Nikolaev. How serious is the situation getting? It looks like we've just lost our connection there with Mr. Budovsky. I do apologize for that. We'll try to bring him back. I'll put the same question to Mr. James Jatras. Mr. Jatras, how serious do you think this secession or independence-seeking movement has actually become for Ukraine?
I think it is quite serious with the events in Kyiv that have transpired over the last few months, and the collapse of what I think would have been acknowledged as legitimate constitutional authority through legally suspect, if not blatantly, blatant violations of the law and relying on violent groups in the streets of Kyiv, I don't think we can underestimate the extent to which that has damaged the structural integrity of the Ukrainian state. We look, for example, in Donetsk, where who is the legitimate authority in Donetsk? Nobody can say. There's an oligarch named Sergei Taruta who is appointed by the Kyiv authorities, who was not elected by anybody. And so I think that the people in the east of Ukraine are I think, legitimate in believing that they're at the mercy of people who are not legitimate and that they are entitled to take their own fate into their own hands. I think the real question now is whether the group of people in Kyiv that are now calling themselves a government will attempt to use force to suppress them, which I think would be a very bad move and lead to completely unpredictable consequences.
Well, looking at how the interim government in Kyiv has reacted to all this, we know that it's already called it the second stage of a Russian plan to break up Ukraine. Is Russia involved, or is this a genuine popular movement?
To tell the truth, I'm not in a position to know. If the Russians were involved in some way, I would not be particularly surprised. In fact, I saw a new news report that members of the Russian Duma were considering going to Donetsk to appear with the demonstrators, and people will say, oh my, isn't that terrible interference? But then again, let's remember in Kyiv, there were American congressmen and senators, American State Department officials that were openly backing those demonstrators, people from European countries as well. So I think the question of whether there's outside involvement is an interesting one, but a not particularly significant one, given how divided opinion is in different parts of Ukraine.
Well, John Kerry has told his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, that any further Russian efforts to destabilize Ukraine will incur further costs for Moscow. And some observers say the Western sanctions were not harsh enough to stop Russia's policies in Ukraine. What do you think about that?
I think the sanctions are not going to be able to do anything where Russia feels it has its fundamental security issues at stake. And again, let's remember what triggered all this, an attempt to drag a very divided, very delicately balanced east and west of Ukraine, drag it kicking and screaming into the EU and NATO camp. That's something that could not be tolerated. As far as threatening the Russians, I don't think that will do any good. And as far as warning of outside interference, again, I think American and European officials have to look in the mirror at their own actions of what they did between November and February with respect to the disorders in Kyiv. There was blatant outside interference then, and that's what really caused all this instability to get out of control.
Do you think the West does have any options when it comes to Russia?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I think what is necessary is to go back to the negotiating table and to what should have been done in the first place, which is to try to put the Ukrainian Humpty Dumpty back together again. Instead of seeing this fracturing of the country, what we need is a restoration of constitutional government, something if not exactly the agreement between the opposition and Yanukovych February 21st, something like that, where people in East and South Ukraine who now feel disenfranchised can feel they have a stake in a legitimate system. And that means postponing the elections that are scheduled for president in May that simply have no credibility in the east and south of the country because these people saw their votes stolen from them on the streets of Kiev.
You know, some people are saying that Russia has already called for its option. It says that rather its solution to the crisis in Ukraine is for a federalized Ukraine. And that's why it would not be interested in sending what people call peacekeeping forces, for instance, in the Donetsk region or other regions to help them hold another referendum or possibly join Russia, that it wouldn't even be a good financial option for Russia to do that, though it does want a federal situation in Ukraine. Do you think that in response to this call for Russia to send forces, it's going to do that?
I think we're talking about a couple different things here. I think the idea of sending forces into eastern Ukraine is something that the Russians would do only as a last resort, because you're right, there would be any number of costs associated with that. I really don't think they want to do that. I don't think I would say a satellitized Ukraine is what they have in mind. They're very clear what they want is a neutral Ukraine and a federalized Ukraine, because I think they see, and I think people in the south and east of Ukraine see, the need to have some kind of guarantees of the autonomy, the language rights, the security of people in that part of the country, that they will not be bullied by people who have, in some cases, a very extreme political agenda from the west of Ukraine and some very violent tendencies. Far more violent, by the way, than anything we've seen in eastern Ukraine.